Perek Yud Beit in Negayim Mishnah Gimel. All right, so we're well on our way. We're talking about the Negei Batim. Okay, so what we learned yesterday was that there is a din that the bias has to consist of the very materials that the Torah spoke about in the dinim of being kotze et habayit. We have to break the bayit down. And since over there it mentions separately that it needs to have avanav, it needs to have etzav, and it needs to have also the afarav. So that means you need to have stone, you need to have wood, and you need to have some earth or clay in the house. But, I mean, is that, you said if you added it afterwards, I mean, how much does it need to have? So kama avanim yubo, how many stones does a house have to have in order for it to be mekabel tumas negoyim? Says Rabbi Yishmael, it has to have at least four, because each one of the walls of the house has to have in it a stone that you could have the nega on. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you need to have eight. Two you need to have in each wall. What's this dependent on? It's dependent on another machlokas. Shahaya Rabbi Yishmael Omer, the din of the Tuma of Abayis is that you need to have a nega of two grisim. Why? Because it says Akirot Abayit. So that means that the nega needs to be enough to be a one gris by a gris on one wall and one gris by a gris on the other wall. So then that means that you have to have at least a gris by two grisim in order to be able to have the Kirot Abayit covered. So this implies that there would be two separate avanim. And that, it doesn't mean that it has to be on the two avanim, but it has to be at least capable of being. So if it's al shtei avanim or al even echad, that's fine. So if one stone has a nega, that's also enough. So because of that, each wall only needs one stone. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it needs to have two stones because it actually needs to be present on the kirot tav. It needs to have the two separate, technically speaking, walls. So that if we view each large stone as a wall, so then you could have shnei grisin al shtei avanim, but they can't be al even achat. So the only way that you could have a kosher wall for a house to have a nega is if it has two stones. But Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon takes this to an extreme. Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon says, look, if the Torah says on the walls, they have to be separate walls, not separate stones. So what makes them separate walls? Obviously, what the Torah is saying is that a nega is only going to be a nega if it's in the corner and it actually connects two walls. With a nega that is a gris at the edge of one wall, goes around the corner and covers a kagris of the other wall. So therefore, ad sheyera'e kishnei girisin al shtei avanim b'shnei kotalim b'zavit, the only time that the house would be tamei with a nega is that the nega is a shear of two grisim, like you say. But those two grisim have to be distributed over two separate walls at a corner. And therefore, the total orech, the total length of it, is two grisim. But I agree with you. The total width of it, of course, is only one gris. So you have a gris by a gris and another gris by a gris that are connected at the corner. And that would be the only place that you could actually have a nega. Now, the other issue is wood. Okay, so now we see the machlokas, three-way machlokas. It's really a two-way machlokas in terms of what the wall needs to have. It's a three-way machlokas in terms of where the nega needs to be. But now that's about stone. How about wood? So you said etzav, and it absolutely has got to have wood. So what exactly is the wood that is required? Etzim, kidei litein tachat hashkof. Basically, the part of a house that needs to be wood, when you're not using wood as your material, you still use wood as your door frame, right? So you would still have to have, now that doesn't mean that you actually have to have the neg on the door frame or anything like that, but it means that you need to have enough wood in that home that it would have been sufficient to be put underneath the top. It would make the top of a door frame. And then you would put this little piece underneath that, to stop the door from swinging into the house when you open it. So you have to have a piece of wood that size in all four sides of the house, not for that purpose, but that becomes the definition of the eight sav that the Torah is referring to. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kedei la'asot sandal le'achorei hashkof. The size is not that you need to have to protect the door. What you need to have is a sandal. A sandal is the same thing a sandal means for a human. It's something that you put on your foot to prevent your foot from getting wet. So you would need to have a protective layer of wood to prevent rotting out of the lintel area. So you would always put a sandal of wood on the other side of the lintel as a protection for it. And how much afar? Afar kidei litein bein patsim l'chaveiro. So if you would now make an opening, so then whatever would be necessary to close up, if you put in a window into the house, what would be necessary to seal the area of the window, that would be what the Torah is considering to be important in the definition of a house. Now, there are other kinds of walls that are not, even though they have all of these ingredients, they are not going to be tameh from a nega. So let's say you have an avos for an animal who's used, it's in a barn, and you built this big trough. That's not going to be mekabel tuma, even if it's made out of the right material. Kirot ha-avos, or kirot ha-mechitza, let's say you just got a wall in your chotzer, and it's not part of the house. These, even if they have all the right ingredients, the Torah demands kirot ha-bayit. So don't make the mistake of thinking that it's the material per se that defines the ability for the nega to be metame. It's the material that is this material in the structure of the wall of a house. So it does need to be a kirot habayit. Furthermore, it has to be a kirot in a bayit, which is bebeit eretz achuzatchem. Is chutz la'aretz beit eretz achuzatchem? Of course not. So if you have a house in chutz la'aretz with a nega, then it's not a nega, because it's the wrong kind of house. And if you live in Yerushalayim, is Yerushalayim achuzatchem, if it wasn't handed out to the various shvatim, if it's the joint and common Yerushalayim of all of Klal Yisrael? No. So then it's not Beit Eretz achuzatchem. Therefore, batim in Yerushalayim, or batim in chutz la'aretz, inan mitami b'negoyim, because it's not the definition of kirot habayit. So how does it work when somebody notes a neka? So how would the Kohen actually see the nega in the house? So first of all, obvious, it's different fundamentally from the cases that we've had until now, because you can't bring the house to the Kohen. And in all the other cases, you can bring the beged or the person or whatever it is, you can bring it to the Kohen. So over here, it has to start with an invitation to the Kohen to come and visit the house, to see the nega. So you're already putting him out. So it says in a pasuk, Uba ashalo habayit, v'yigid la'kohen le'mor, ke nega nira li babayit. So you have to be able to tell the Kohen, even if you're convinced and you're a big bucky in the goyim, as we said before, you cannot make the determination that there is a nega in my house. You can only say, gee, something looks very suspicious in that house. I'm nervous that it might be a nega, even though you know darn well it's a nega, but you have to give the kovet to the Kohen. And this is afilu tamid chacham, v'yodea shu nega vaday, lo yigzor v'yomar, nega nireh li babayit, ela ke nega nireh li babayit. Doesn't matter how certain you are that it's a nega, you cannot say that. And that's why the Torah specifies the word ke nega nireh li babayit. So then the next pasuk says, v'tziva ha-kohen, Ufinu et habayit. So the Kohen tells people, okay, before I come, get everything out of that house. Beterem yovo ha-kohen lirot et ha-nega, v'lo yitmo kol asher babayit. We don't want everything in the house to become tameh. So get everything out of the house. V'achar ken yovo ha-kohen lirot et ha-bayit. And if afterwards, then the Kohen comes, now he can be metameh. Now, what is the point of this whole thing? Rabbi Yehuda says, the point is that the house has to be empty. That's the point. Don't start telling me what you think the point is. It says in the pasuk, Lo yitmor kol asher babayit, not because that is the reason that I'm taking things out of the house. There's two separate things. Get everything out of the house. And by the way, anything in the house will actually become tummy. So that is to tell me that if you have any kalim that were in the house from before, they will still become tummy. Because you might have thought that Habba el Habayit is Tameh, but only because he came into the house. But if these Kalim or persons were in the house, and the Kohen then pronounces that the house is Tameh, since they were in the house from before, they're not considered to be Bo el Habayit. And therefore, it's not going to be Metameh then. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, we need the Pasuk to tell me, listen, anything that would stay in the house is going to actually become Tameh the moment that it's defined as Tameh. But it's not giving you a reason. So therefore, it's a gzirat ha-katuf. The Torah says, ufinu et habayit from everything. So then, even if it's things that are like chavilei etzim, chavilei kanim, things that could not possibly become tamei anyway, still have to be taken out of the house. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, come on. I mean, what, the Torah really wants people to turn into janitors? I mean, is that the point? Eisek kula pinui. So the Torah wants the guy to be busy emptying out everything in the house, carrying out these closets that can't be mekabel tumah. They're bigger than our boim. So, I mean, come on, this really makes sense to you? Obviously, it's one thing. It's telling you, make sure that you get things out. You don't have to worry about them becoming tameh. Why would it be telling you to clean out your house? What do the things in the house have to do with the nega? Fine, so according to him, if it can't become tameh, so what's the point of taking it out? Now we have yet a third shita. The question is it actually telling you you've got to get it out? Or it's telling you it would be a good idea to get it out, because if you don't get it out, it's going to be tameh, and then you won't be able to use it for tyrus. Or Rebbe Yemeir. So basically, if it's just telling you to make sure that you don't get yourself hurt financially. So then says Rabbi Meir, this is amazing, because what it implies is that, look, what is in fact the guy's concern to get things out of the house? If the guy says, okay, you know, I don't care if it becomes tummy, I have a mikveh downstairs, I'll just take everything to the mikveh. You know, it's a lot easier than schlepping everything out into the courtyard and so on. So what is the Torah telling you to get out of the house? I mean, what do you think it's referring to? Your clothing? You think it's referring to the keli made out of wood in your kitchen? Or you think it's referring to your silverware, metallic objects, and so on? What's the problem? Why would the Torah be telling him to take them out? What, to save him the trouble putting in the mikveh? He'll put in the mikveh if he wants to. It's his business. So what is the Torah giving this advice about? Because it's only advice, as Rabbi Meir understands it. So, Almer Chasa HaTorah, what does the Torah want to avoid your loss? In case you have disposable things that can't be mitzayer, which is, of course, klicheres. So, klicheres, you won't be able to take to the mikveh. So, basically, the Torah is telling you, listen, my dear boy, make sure that you get all your paper cups out of the house. You know, I mean, you don't want to have to schlep to the bakolit and get new paper cups. That's incredible. But the Torah is telling you, listen, I don't want you to suffer, you know, a $2 loss for having to buy new paper cups. Wow. So that means the Torah is concerned about your klicheres, about your water bottle, right? Your pach, your tifyo, which is like the little oil dropper. It's like an inch high and you put a little oil in to be able to drip the oil out. So since they're made out of cheres, you're not going to be put them into the mikveh. You're going to have to be breaking them. Now, let me ask you something else, says Rabbi Meir. What kind of guy gets a nega in his house? Bad boy. Why? Because it says, Ubasher lo habayit. This is a guy who doesn't want to share anything with anybody. So now he's going to have to take his stuff outside, and everybody's going to see, look at this no good Nick. He claimed that he didn't have a bottle to lend me. Look, he's got plenty of bottles. He's just a selfish bum. Okay. And nonetheless, the Torah is makbid that this guy should not suffer a loss, right? So, im kach chasa haTorah mamono habazui. So first of all, we're talking about paper cups, okay? The Torah is makbid that he shouldn't lose money on garbage. Kal v'chomer al mamono achaviv. Imagine how HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about something that is really valuable to you. And furthermore, if the Torah is concerned about money, so kal v'chomer al nefesh banav uvnotav, imagine how much the Torah is worried about your children. And we're here talking about on the property of a person who spoke Lashon Hara at the very least, right? And that's because the tzarat is always of the Lashon of the Baal Motzi Shem Ra. So kal v'chomer al shel tzadik. So of course, if a person didn't do that avera, so for sure, anything that happens to a person, it has to be clear to you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about you, loves your children, loves even your paper cups. Anything that matters to you matters to him. Otherwise, this wouldn't be in the pasuk. A beautiful way to end our Mishnah today, because sometimes things look really so bad, you'd wonder. But Baruch Hashem, we're right after Shabbos Nachamu, so we can be misnachem with this beautiful Mishnah.